May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This week I'd like to talk about mansplaining, just for a couple of minutes. Maybe slightly more than a couple of minutes. I've had a couple of very interesting interactions over the past couple of weeks, one of which occurred while turning off Joyce Avenue into the Canadian Tire parking lot. I know. There was a truck coming towards me a good distance off, and there was a pedestrian on the sidewalk going the same direction as me. And so I made the turn just as the pedestrian stepped off, so there was a full lane between us. It was nowhere near close to hitting him. And I've been close. I'm not the best driver. I didn't really think anything of it, because I think most of us who drive turn right on the red light when there's a pedestrian on the crossing, if they're not too close, right? The driver of the oncoming truck, however, who was a good 50 meters away, took exception to this and followed me into the Canadian Tire parking lot, where he parked next to me and treated me to a very interesting, long conversation. Well, it wasn't really a conversation. Soliloquy on how to drive correctly and to be more respectful of pedestrians. So I told him, once he paused for breath, he was sort of going slightly purple, I told him I didn't feel that it was too close. And at the moment when I thought he might actually start drawing a picture to explain what he meant, I told him that I had to go because I needed to buy a very large dog bone for Myrtle. And poor guy, he uttered some expletives to let me know how upset he was that our interaction was ending. But, you know, there they are. And I was thinking about him a lot and what kind of day he must be having. And then I came to the gospel text and I realized that we have a mansplainer in the first century, right there in the synagogue. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's been going on that long. We just didn't have the language for it. No offense, guys. So before we get to the mansplainer, let's talk about the woman in this gospel. So described as being crippled, she would have been an outsider, described as a daughter of Abraham who was bound by Satan, demonstrating the understanding of the time that an illness or a disability was either the work of the devil or punishment for one's sins or for the sins of parents. Now, I spent a lot of time with this, and I compared it to a lot of the other healing miracles because I'm nerdy like that. And it occurred to me that this miracle is quite different than the other healing miracles. So I decided to really nerd out and look at the Greek translation, which I almost never do. And don't worry, I'm not going to try and pronounce anything because, you know, that's awful. But basically, what the Greek actually says is she was bent over and not able to lift herself up to the full. And I thought, wow, that's quite striking. It's quite a striking phrase. She was not able to lift herself up to the full. Something was keeping her down. And whereas like modern hearers, we might sort of try to begin to diagnose what was wrong with her. You know, maybe she had osteoarthritis. So we sort of, you know, go into a wormhole and start Googling. That's not the point of the story. Many people, whether living with physical or mental or spiritual ailments, feel that they are carrying the burdens of the world, and it feels like a weight. And you'll often see people who are quite downcast, just, you know, sort of walking along like this woman, just looking at the floor, not able to lift their eyes upward. And that is not what God wants to us. For us, God wants us to live into our full potential as human beings. After all, Jesus came so that we could have life, even life to the fullest. That's John 10:10. So the woman has an ailment. She's different. Nevertheless, she is part of the community. She's obviously a Jewish person. She's gone to synagogue on the Sabbath. She's there with the rest of the crowd. We don't hear that she's come to be healed. We don't hear Jesus say, your faith has made you well, because she's demonstrated anything. We don't even know that she has any desire to meet Jesus, but Jesus sees her in the crowd and calls her over, and again, the wording is different. It doesn't say, and then he touched her and he healed her. It says he freed her. from her ail, so she's liberated from whatever it is that's holding her down. Now, she never says a word until she starts praising God, so we can assume that those were happy words, but we never get to hear from her. She's just a silent, passive recipient. She's not like, there's not even any inner thoughts. You know, like the woman with the hemorrhages, for 18 years. We hear her inner thoughts say, if I could just touch the hem of his cloak, then I would be healed. Nothing. She doesn't do anything. So she's praising God. So she gets a surprise blessing that morning. And sometimes we get surprise blessings. I got one the other day on the seawall. It was absolutely jam-packed. And I drove to where I thought there was a spot, but there was a fire hydrant. I was like, damn it. So I turned around. And just as I was turning around, surprise blessing, another truck backed out. I was like, yes, Lord. Thank you. So sometimes we receive these surprise blessings. Sometimes others around us get blessed, and we're either really happy for them, or sometimes maybe we feel envy that they got something that we didn't, or sometimes we feel injustice. For example, why can Will Smith go up on stage during a major, Oscar ceremony or whatever it was, and just smack someone in the face, and that's okay, and no charges get pressed? Like, why is that allowed to happen? Why can some people get away with stuff while the victims go unheard? Enter the mansplainer. The synagogue leader tries to shame Jesus, or does he? I just want to revisit this line, because I have to say this really bothered me. There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath. I don't think he's having a go at the rabbi. He's speaking to the woman who neither asked for or thought that she was going to get this blessing. So this guy just jumps on her. I'm sure she knew the law. I'm sure she knew she wasn't supposed to get healed. It was a bit of a shock to everybody. She's just going about her business, and suddenly a divine word interrupts her life. And she's touched by the very hands of God and straightened up to stand fully up and praise God. So this is a very different healing story than the ones we might be used to. And so I sat there with it and I thought, who do I identify with? Who do we identify with most in the story? And then I thought, oh no, is it the mansplainer? Because it's very easy to be like the guy in traffic when you're having a bad day, just to like dish out unsolicited advice. I actually do that with my siblings quite a bit. My brother in particular be like, Lou, stop. Whereas my sister's just very patient. Spent so much time not trying to be my dad that I'm turning into my mother. Miss that. So I want you to think for a moment when you've received a surprise blessing from God, when God turned up in your life, interrupted your day with something life-changing. And then think, when have we behaved like the synagogue leader and missed the point that God was doing something that was perhaps way beyond our understanding or far too marvelous for us? Now, if you remember at the beginning of Luke, in Luke 4, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim the good news of the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind and to set the oppressed free." This is about meeting Jesus and being freed to worship God, being freed to respond to this great gift that we're being given. Whether it's a surprise blessing, whether it's our baptism, whatever it might do, it's actually not an anti-Jewish text. But as followers of Jesus, we're also called to do what Jesus did. Because what does Jesus do? So the mansplainer steps in. How dare you get cured on the Sabbath? Bog off and come back on the other 6 days. But Jesus steps in and says, hang on a minute, folks. We treat our oxes and donkeys better than this. We have to draw the circle a little wider. And Jesus was all about the lost sheep of Israel. He was not coming to preach to the Gentiles. The interactions he had with Gentiles were just coincidence, right? So the challenge for us is to be the surprise blessing. The challenge for us is to be the one who steps in and says, no, actually, that's not okay. It's not okay to put this person down or to get in the way of someone who really needs this blessing. And then when we have the opportunity to celebrate these things, we just celebrate them with the person, even if we feel like it might have been unjust, even if we feel like we missed out on something, even if we feel jealousy. And the trick is just to continue talking to God. Just continue to talk to God about the things that burden us, knowing that we are seen, like Jesus seeing that woman in the crowd. How did he see her? If there's a crowd and she's bent double, how did he see her? Jesus sees the suffering in our lives. So we're obviously going into this interim period. I'm going to keep going on about that. I'm going to go to a very interesting training course, and I'm going to come back all jazzed with lots of questions for you all. Question today, how are we at St. David's and St. Paul's Powell River going to draw our circle a little wider? We're entering that September back to school time, a few more of us coming back from our summers. Who do we see in our community that we could be the surprise blessing for, where we can spread the love of God? When we celebrate the Eucharist each Sunday, as we will today, we celebrate a mini Easter, right? Jesus is risen from the dead, hallelujah, and we are one with him through the act of consuming the consecrated elements. Jesus, our God incarnate, is at the center of that act, and that's something we all do together. I don't just wave my hands, it's not magic. Like, we all do that together, right? So we ask the Spirit to come, and it comes into these elements. So Jesus is right at the center on our table of our community. That's why we focus on the altar, right? And then as the deacons dismiss us at the end, that's when we're supposed to go and take that into the community, strengthened by what we've consumed. The dismissal could actually be phrased, the worship has ended, let the service begin. Right? Now, you might feel on hearing these words like Jeremiah, because it sounds a lot like evangelism, and I know Anglicans love that. You might say, don't send me, Lord. I'm only a boy, or I'm only a woman, or I'm only one person, or I'm only this able or that able, or I'm not as young as I used to be. What possible difference can I make? The truth is, you may be only one person of a certain size or race or gender, ability, background, etc. But you are a child of God, that God has claimed and named and called beloved, and you have been straightened up and freed to respond the way that Jesus responds. And so now is the time to proclaim it to others. I'm going to be talking a lot about this because that's difficult. Now, there will be challenges and challengers. There will be man and woman splainers. Woman splainers are out there as well, who will try and tell you that you are not worthy, or why you are wrong about the love of God, or that God doesn't even exist. But you know what God has done for you. Each of us has a story like this woman. I know each of us has a story. When God turned up and did something surprising that changed our lives. And the reason I know this is because people don't come to church for this if that has not happened. Now, you might have to think about it. You might have to count your blessings, as they say. But this Sabbath, I encourage you to take the time to think about what God has done and what God is doing in your life and find a way to articulate it. Write it down. Draw a picture, like the guy in the truck almost did. Revisit those moments in your mind and give thanks. And then tell others. Because if you can know what those moments are, if they come easily to you and you can articulate them, I promise you, God will do the heavy lifting when you are speaking to others about it. That is absolutely true. God always does the heavy lifting. God will touch your lips like Jeremiah. And we know this because at the end of the story, it says, the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. And I like to think that that included the opponents in the crowd. The entire crowd was rejoicing. And I think that because nothing is impossible with God. So may that be the case here at St. David's and St. Paul's. Amen.